Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We'll be talking good, bad, and crazy martinis today, as always. Two of them deal with the Super Bowl, so most of you should be pretty familiar with them. And, Jim, we start with the good. There was a lot of sleaze last night in the Super Bowl commercials. GoDaddy, not surprisingly, was part of that. There was the T-shirt commercial across the board, a lot of ads that you probably didn't have your kids paying close attention to. Then, later in the game, there was a two-minute spot by Ram Trucks, featuring the voice of one of the great radio men of all time, Paul Harvey, extolling the virtues of the American farmer. It was a two-minute ad. We're not going to play it all, but here's an excerpt that gives you a great taste of the great American values being extolled here.
God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then painting from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer.
Values being espoused here, the hard work, up before dawn, working well past sundown, not relying on anyone else but the great American traditions of self-reliance and working hard. And the best part was the bit at the end about the son admiring his father and wanting to do exactly what he does in an age when dads are pretty much mocked around the clock. This is just a great ad.
This is the late Paul Harvey. This was a speech apparently sometime in the 70s he gave to a farmers conference. I think the Super Bowl commercials say a little bit about our culture. And I think the, you know, I looked a little at a couple of them beforehand. These companies spend about $1 million a pop to get the airtime before they even start rolling the cameras and figuring out what they want to do with their 30 seconds or 60 seconds. And, you know, oh, look, talking animals. Oh, look, a hot chick. Oh, look, here's something really gross. There's this, as I said, this vibe of desperation of, oh, goodness, we're going to lose attention. Let's put something up there and hope that this, you know, will grab your attention, even if we have to offend you, even if we have to show something disgusting, even if, you know, we'd rather shock and horrify you than leave you bored. And so, and, you know, the irony is that commercial after commercial has this same theme of look, cute talking animals or sex sells or gross out humor or something like that. And then along comes this one, which I believe used almost entirely still photography of farmers. And it's Paul Harvey, this very distinctive voice. And it's very interesting. It's not an explicitly religious commercial, but it basically says, you know, there's this unique need in the world and thus God creates it. And basically saying to farmers, you are, God created you special. Yes, we know your life is exceptionally hard and requires exceptional hard work and sacrifices, but that is what makes you who you are. You were created for this purpose and you are special. Cut through all of the noise like a knife. I mean, you know, I'm both online and around today, people are talking about this ad. And I think it says something about zigging when everyone else is zagging. And I think it really kind of says something that this, you know, this still resonates with people. And it definitely can stir people's emotions much more than, you know, oh, look, hot chick, or oh, look, you know, a talking lizard or something like that. And of course, the other thing is, Greg, once you saw that ad, what did you want to do? Because a lot of people said, boy, I don't know if I want to buy a truck, but I sure as heck want to hire a farmer. It was a fantastic ad for farmers and an okay ad for trucks. A former contributor at National Review used to write, pop culture is filth. And there's plenty of it out there, but there isn't always that. And I think I kind of have to really applaud these ad makers for not doing what everybody else was doing, trying this approach, and I think winning the night and creating something that everybody is talking about and likes and feels good about their product. Instead of saying, oh, God, I can't believe I, you know, registered my website through GoDaddy. I'm ashamed of myself, you know.
Well, there are two ways to look at it. Obviously, it's applause to Ram for doing this and putting traditional American values on display in a very positive way. The sad part is that it's so outside the norm, like you were saying, that it got that much attention. This should be the norm rather than the exception to it. But good that it's getting a great response, and good, again, that this type of commercial was made. So well done. That's a very good martini.
It's going to be good news for us that everyone's going to copy it now. I'm sure right now whoever has the rights to the recordings of Paul Harvey is going to be very wealthy in the near future, because every ad – well, did he ever say anything about our product? You know, I'm looking forward to the God Created a Pundit commercial. But obviously I'm very intrigued. I think Fred Thompson will have a great deal of work ahead doing voiceovers. So yeah. We'll see what comes out of this ad.
Could be. I don't expect a two-minute reverse mortgage ad, but he could do something a little bit more poignant than that, I suppose. Jim, on to martini number two now. And it was just last week we were extolling good bits of news that seem to be piling up in the special Massachusetts Senate race. John Kerry is leaving the Senate. Barney Frank was not named the interim senator. The Democrats have a primary and potentially a pretty nasty one. Scott Brown was ahead of the likely Democratic frontrunner Ed Markey. But a funny thing happened on the way to that optimism. Scott Brown actually needed to run. And on Friday, he announced he is not going to. Not only is he not going to, neither is pretty much any other Republican Massachusetts politician that anyone's ever heard of. Even former Governor Bill Weld, who would certainly be considered a retread, declined to run. And now the Massachusetts establishment is looking pretty seriously at Tag Romney, son of Mitt Romney. And no offense intended to the young Mr. Romney, but if this is the depth of the Republican Party in Massachusetts, things are not looking good at all for the Republicans.
It's not. And I heard one person's observation that the only good news about running Tag Romney is that you could use like two or three other brothers to sub in and kind of use them as a rotation, you know, cover more ground that way. I do think that as much, you know, there was also some, you know, buzz about Ann Romney running. I think, you know, there was no indication that Ann Romney had wanted to run. It was just like, well, who do we know who's kind of popular and got ties to Massachusetts? And we're stuck with one family. As much as I wish the Romney family well, I don't think this is the right move. Here's the thing. Scott Brown is perfectly entitled to say, hey, you know what? I don't want to do this with my life, and just turn it down. The problem is that we've kind of known that Kerry was likely to be picked, and that this scenario was likely to come out for a couple months now, certainly a couple weeks. And he could have said, you know what, I don't want to do this at any point in there. I believe there's 20-some days until the filing deadline. Whoever the Republicans want to pick, they have to, you know, collect signatures and stuff like that. Scott Brown has really left the state party high and dry. And if you're going to not run, you really got to let the party know early, because now they are scrambling for a candidate. And the chances of what looks like a pretty competitive, decent shot in a special Senate election is now not looking so great after all.
No, it's looking very bleak, in fact, because once he was gone, we were talking about people who haven't really been mentioned since the 90s until Mitt Romney's son was mentioned. So anyway, on to martini number three now, Jim. And when you've got most of the world, or at least the vast majority of the TV audience watching your program, the last thing you want is an unexpected interruption in the programming. And that's what we got last night with the 34-minute blackout at the very early on in the second half, right after the Ravens went up by 22 points. We had the blackout, and then the 49ers make this furious comeback, almost won it. Ultimately, the Ravens, of course, won by 3 points. But watching CBS scramble, watching John Harbaugh of the Ravens, the head coach, chew out at least one Superdome official, if not more, as his team was forced to wait to resume the game. Just a bizarre moment in something that is so unbelievably heavily scripted. Just an odd moment last night.
People of Gotham, the hour of your liberation has arrived.
Now, obviously, I must point out, everybody made the Bane destroying the Gotham City Football Stadium joke right after the lights went out. It is worth noting, however, that with only half the lights out of the stadium, it really did point more to the Batman villain Two-Face. So, you know, it was bizarre. It was slightly frightening at the beginning. Just kind of, oh, what's going on there? And then, of course, just as it went on, a lot of jokes about New Orleans and how things are not quite, you know, there's always been kind of this fun, partying, lackadaisical, we'll worry about the details later mood around New Orleans. And perhaps this was a bad reflection of that. A lot of people speculated that maybe the halftime show with all of its spectacular lights and fireworks and all that stuff may have blown a fuse somewhere. A little bit of embarrassment for the city of New Orleans and for the state. I joked that Bobby Jindal was seen hooking up jumper cables to an exercise bike. doing his part to try to get the lights going once again. Unfortunate. Obviously, the game went on, and it, you know, they did manage to get it fixed. It sounds like the issue is somewhere in the Superdome facility, not with the power company to New Orleans at large. So they'll come, you know, look into that. It may be a while before this. It was great to see the Super Bowl come back to New Orleans after the horror of Katrina. It is kind of frustrating to know that it probably won't be coming back anytime soon after this high-profile mess up.
Yeah, it reminded me of the last time the Superdome didn't have power. This one turned out a little bit better, needless to say. So anyway, as we mentioned on Friday, neither of our teams were there, and we didn't have a super rooting interest, although we both mildly leaned towards the Niners, so we didn't win on that front. But congratulations to the Ravens, and hope springs eternal for the Bears and Jets next year. Right, Jim?
You know, Greg, everybody's 0-0 today.
I'm glad you're that optimistic. All right.
There you go. And it's, you know, like 81 days to the draft. So, you know, people like me can get, you know, get excited again. So
he's Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for listening. As always, join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.